Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. The text, the Gospel from Mark 6, where Jesus goes to his hometown, and they focus especially just on these words, and they took offense at him. This is our text. You know, when I was a child, the people in Nazareth always puzzled me. I mean, it seemed to me that the people in Nazareth should be proud of Jesus. I mean, he was popular. He went about healing people and doing other good things. He taught a message of salvation by grace. I mean, you would think that when Jesus returned to his hometown, that they would give him that first century equivalent of a ticker tape parade. Maybe give him the key to the city. I mean, maybe even put up a sign at the entrance to the town, home of Jesus, the rabbi and miracle worker. But instead, the people of Nazareth hated Jesus. We see fierce, even physically violent opposition to Jesus in every account of his teaching in Nazareth. And that's what caused him to move his ministry headquarters down the road to Capernaum. Every time I heard about that rejection of Nazareth, I just had to wonder, what was wrong with the people of Nazareth? Well, I think today's reading from the Old Testament maybe begins to give us an answer to these wonderings. I mean, when God chose Ezekiel to be a prophet to Israel, he warned Ezekiel that the people were very stubborn in their unbelief. God told Ezekiel that Israel was a nation that was arrogant and stubborn. And the symptom of their stubborn arrogance was their refusal to learn more about their own native son. The things that they did know were absolutely right. They said, "Isn't this the carpenter?" Well, no doubt Jesus had learned the trade from Joseph. "Isn't this the son of Mary?" Well, we know that he is. I mean, that's what Christmas is all about. "Isn't this the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon?" Certainly. "Are not his sisters here with us?" Well, of course they are. Well, their knowledge of Jesus was absolutely right as far as it went, but it was incomplete. And in their stubborn arrogance, the citizens of Nazareth, they were unwilling to learn any more about Jesus. You know, the thing of it is that Nazareth wasn't all that far from the locations of Jesus' miracles. I mean, last week, the lesson was about Jesus raising a girl from the dead. And that happened in Capernaum, which is less than 30 miles from Nazareth. Cana, where Jesus performed his first miracle, turning water into wine. Well, that was less than 6 miles from Nazareth. And Jesus taught, and he healed in the area all around Nazareth. And yet, when he was in Nazareth itself, he experienced rejection. In their stubborn arrogance, the Nazarenes refused to learn more about Jesus. And today's gospel tells us that Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. Now, before we go and condemn the Nazarenes, we might do well to take an inventory of our own attitude toward learning about Jesus? Do we ever take the attitude that Jesus has nothing more to teach us? I mean, I went to Sunday school. I went through catechism. I know it all. Jesus has nothing more to teach us. Well, let's be honest. What about when you have an hour of Christian education before the divine service? Are you eager to take up that opportunity to learn more about Jesus? What about if a class was offered to review the catechism? Would you say, well, I've already been there, done that? Well, in the Great Commission, Jesus tells his church that she's to teach his disciples to observe all that he has commanded. Jesus knew that his disciples would be hungry for his gifts, that they would want to know more and more about their Savior. And in the Great Commission, Jesus instructed his church to be ready to feed those disciples for a lifetime. C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he had some words that very accurately describe those Nazarenes in today's gospel. And he said, and this is from his Law and Gospel book, a person may pretend to be a Christian, though in reality he is not. As long as in this condition, he's quite content with his knowledge of the mere outlines of Christian doctrine. Everything beyond that, he says, oh, that's for pastors and theologians to understand as clearly as possible everything that God has revealed. All of that is irrelevant for non-Christians. You know what? I think those words pretty much describe the Nazarenes in today's gospel. We know all that we need to know about Jesus. But today's gospel raises some really hard questions for each and every one of us. How often do I reject the opportunity to learn more about Jesus? The Apostle Paul states that the gospel of God is the power of God for salvation. And if Paul is right, and if there really is the power of God there, why does it get under our skin when the pastor or somebody else wants us to have more of it? I mean, if this really is the power of God, why do I think that it's boring? The fact is that we're, you and I, we're not that much different than those people in Nazareth. And the message that Jesus has for us, the message of Jesus is still offensive to many people, even to some who claim to be Christians. How sad it is that many who call themselves Christians are offended by the very teachings of the Christ that they worship or that they claim to worship. The fact of the matter is that faithful people who share God's message regularly experience controversy and opposition because people don't always like what God has to say. And that leads to arguments and conflict. And I want you to realize that as long as you live in this sinful world, controversy and opposition will be part of the Christian life. But in spite of the world's opposition, Jesus doesn't stop offering his gifts. He continued to send his disciples out to prepare the way for his ministry, even though he knew that they would experience opposition. He gave them the authority to bless those who received them and also the authority to shake the dust off their feet against those who did not. You see, the Lord didn't withhold his gifts just because his disciples would experience rejection. And Jesus still offers those gifts today. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die for nice people. The fact is, he died for sinners. And since the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that means that he died for everybody. He died for those who rejected him in Nazareth. And he died for those who still reject him today. And he offers his gifts to all, even to those who reject him time and time again. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He wants you to know about him. And he's given the church the command to teach the nations to hold fast to all of the things that he taught. So take advantage of this command. Learn about the Christ who loves you and who gave himself into death for you. Learn about the Savior who delights in giving you the things that are best for you. Learn about the Lord who rose from the dead in order to give you the promise of eternal life. Yes, God's word is divisive. The writer of Hebrews says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And the division is between those who are faithful to Christ's teachings and those who reject them. Yes, even Jesus experienced opposition. He faced opposition in Nazareth, his hometown, because the people rejected God's word. And eventually, the people who rejected God's word also arranged to have him nailed to a cross. But with his death on the cross, he has reconciled us to God, giving us forgiveness and life. So we are among those who say of Jesus, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But you know what? The moment we say that, we're going to make someone mad. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.